This is the Book Club at 91.7 on WVXU. I'm Mark Purcell. Thanks for listening this morning. 2015 marks the 50th anniversary of the great statesman Winston Churchill's death. And a new book out in bookstores and libraries now tells the story of this great man. It's called The Churchill Factor, How One Man Made History. It's written by Boris Johnson, the mayor of London, and he is on the line from London with us this morning. Good morning, sir, and thank you for taking
the time to talk. It's a pleasure, absolute pleasure. Talking about Churchill is always a pleasure.
I have to say, from my point of view as a big World War II history buff, I knew about Churchill and his involvement in the war, but I was not as familiar with Churchill's life before the war, and your new book does a fantastic job of filling in some of the blanks for me. I did not realize he was such an esteemed journalist before he became a politician.
Oh, he was huge. He was huge. He was the best paid journalist of his age. And I think it was because he was such a good journalist that he was able to call some of the big political issues correctly. You know, he goes out to Germany in 1932, remember, where, you know, right at the beginning of Nazism. And he almost meets Hitler, which would have been a complete disaster, but thankfully Hitler can't be bothered to meet him. But he sees the kids parading through the streets with their blonde hair and their eyes alive with Nazi fervor. And he doesn't like it at all. He doesn't like the anti-Semitism. He can smell it, and he goes back to London and he starts campaigning against it. And I think if he hadn't been a great journalist, he wouldn't have spotted it. He wouldn't have seen it so clearly.
It's fascinating to know that he, at that point in 1940, where you begin the book, is really the man who brought Britain to the war when there were others who were trying to turn Britain away from a war with the Germans.
You bet. That was the starting off point for the book. I wanted to explain again to people the horror of the situation in May 1940, when France has collapsed, Austria has been engulfed, the Czechs have gone, the Poles have gone, Belgium, Holland, the whole thing has been wound up. Italy has come in on the side of Hitler. The Russians have done this ghastly deal. You know, Britain's right on our own, and you know, the pressure for us for the UK to say, okay, well, let's make an accommodation with this guy. We've just lost 1 million people in the First World War only 22 years ago. We can't go through the mincing machine again. And so he has Halifax, he has Chamberlain, and everybody saying, a lot of the media saying, you know, let's try and be sensible. Let's keep the empire, let the Germans do what they want in the continent, more or less, and that's the offer that comes through from Hitler. And everybody can see it would be a humiliation, but it's Churchill who has the guts and the moral courage to hold out. And thank God he did, because it would have been an absolute nightmare, a Nazi-dominated kind of European Union. And possibly Hitler might, you know, he would have been able to attack Russia earlier, and he might have won.
It's a frightening scenario that you set up in the book, talking about what would happen had they not gone Churchill's way. And it is, I love how you describe it as a Nazi European Union.
Yeah, and what I was trying to get at in the book was what made him the man he was. How come he had that strength within him to resist and the courage to fight on? That was what fascinated me about him. Why was he? How could someone be so tough? And it was digging around his previous career that was so enlightening. And you know, you realize the sheer weight of his achievements even before 1940. You know, drawing up his role in the First World War, which he helps to win, inventing the tank, inventing the RAF, helping to found the modern state of Israel, more or less, laying the groundwork for the whole shape of the Middle East, the welfare state, unemployment insurance for people on the breadline, helping people at the bottom of society. You know, he had an absolutely massive role in the creation of not just of modern Britain, but of the modern world. And it keeps going after the war. You know, our world today, he got the Cold War right too, and all that's worth thinking about and remembering, I think.
Boris Johnson, the author of The Churchill Factor, How One Man Made History. Boris Johnson, the mayor of London and well-known author. And I have to say, you bring his story to life. And among the other things I didn't realize was the role that he had played in previous conflicts in the British Empire. You point out that he fought with men on four continents.
He did. And I think that, again, that was the thing that really took me aback. I'd read a huge amount about Churchill over my life, but I think I'd never appreciated his physical bravery. He was getting up in airplanes when those machines had barely been invented, and they were just crazy contraptions of wood and rope and stuff, and he was risking his life time after time and having the most terrible crashes. And he went on, and as you say, he fought on four continents, he came under fire, killed men with his own Mauser, his own pistol. He seemed to have a different kind of stuff in him, he ran on a different kind of fuel from the rest of us. And I don't know quite how it was, but you know, I think it was a lot to do with his childhood, a lot to do with his relationship with his father and all that, which I try and explain in the book. But thank God he did. Thank God he was different.
I learned a lot in reading The Churchill Factor, a lot that I did not know about Winston Churchill. And I suppose that it might be that way with many Americans. As you've been talking about the book with so many people, do you find that there's a different perception and understanding or lack of understanding about Churchill?
I think most people are like you and me. I think they know the big picture, but they just cannot believe some of the background. And I think what always interests people is, what would he do now? What would he do with Syria? What would he do with Iraq? Where would he go? And in many ways, those questions are difficult to answer. But you see some of the things, some of the eternal things that he thought that he stood for, like the idea of freedom, free speech, democracy, habeas corpus, independent judiciary, these things that he felt that had evolved in America and in Britain, and that those two countries represented together. I think those are important values, important concepts that, you know, are not, as it were, uncontested around the world. There are plenty of countries which you know, don't buy into that stuff, you know, and Churchill's view of the world is therefore worth consulting even today. It's worth thinking about that, and why that, you know, is that. Should societies be structured like that? Why is that way better? He thought it was. Why did he think it was? And it's worth reading him on all that stuff.
I love your approach in fighting the detractors of Winston Churchill. You mentioned in the end of the book, talking about the Churchill factor. You're discussing how in the recent decade or decades there have been people who are putting down this great historic figure and trying to blow a hole in his mythology. And that's kind of what the Churchill factor is as a book, is your one big long argument in favor of him.
Yes, I mean, I've tried not to be too hagiographical. I didn't want just to write a eulogy of the guy, so I try and deal with his faults and with his downside and with his errors. And there were many of them. And when he was wrong, he was catastrophically wrong. And he, his tenacity, his stubbornness, which was such a strength in 1940, was obviously a disaster in the Dardanelles, the Gallipoli expedition. He got Indian independence totally wrong. He made awful mistakes. He said terrible things about Mahatma Gandhi, the great Indian leader of the movement for self-rule. But you know, in the end, he got the big thing right, and thank heavens he did.
It was also very enlightening when you talk about Churchill as both a writer and a speaker, a great orator, despite the fact that he had a lisp. And his ability to compress so much in the fewest, most powerful words. And
yes, well, he was absolutely brilliant with language, and so much of it was, of course, directed at America as well as Britain. And he wanted his American listeners to focus on what he was saying. When he wanted people to listen, he would do a kind of swoop from the ornate, the Latin type words, flowery Latin words, down to very simple plain English. So he would say, you know, never in the field of human conflict has so much been owed by so many to so few. And never in the field of human conflict is quite a sort of pompous way of saying never in war, field of human conflict. But then has so much been owed by so many to so few. And that is a brilliant, you know, all those words, very short, very simple Anglo-Saxon words, but they contain within them absolute wealth of thought about all the things that are owed, freedom, democracy, the people who are thinking about it, who are worrying about the war in Britain and America, and then the few. He doesn't name them, he just says the few, the pilots of the British RAF who are up there fighting off the Germans. And he says it on an evening when he had watched every single plane that Britain had up in the sky trying to keep those guys off. And if we'd lost that, and if Hitler had got control of the skies, then it would have been an absolute disaster. But he found the words that would touch people's hearts and move them to fight on.
I keep sharing how much I didn't know about Winston Churchill and how much I was surprised to learn in the book. What did you learn as you were writing the Churchill Factor?
Loads of things. I mean, I think I was stunned to find, well, obviously, I found how much he drank. I think for those of us who are weaker, feebler, modern generation, find that level of sort of heroic Victorian consumption extraordinary.
Yes.
I was amazed. He was small. You know, he wasn't a big guy.
Yeah, 5'6" or so?
In a 31-inch chest when he was a young man. You know, he wasn't huge. He built himself up with dumbbells, but also with his kind of determination to be a huge figure. It was a kind of self. It was a triumph of his own will. I think the thing that I ended up, I think like other Churchill biographers or people have written about him, I ended up totally amazed at his productivity. You know, that was just, I couldn't get my head around it. You know, the sheer volume of words he produced, and most of them of fantastic quality. More words than Dickens, more words than Shakespeare, more words than both of them combined, and the Nobel Prize for Literature. You know, thousands of words of memos every day, some of them very, very funny and still worth reading. And do it all with humor. You know, it's extraordinary. Totally, totally extraordinary guy. And what else did I find that was amazing about him? And he was, he was basically a nice guy. I think that's what people always want to know about when you're writing or thinking about it. Was he, if you had him round the table at dinner, what would he be like? And actually, he was a guy who was genuinely thoughtful about his colleagues, about his secretaries. So he came up trumps on that, and I was pleased with that.
Boris Johnson, whose book The Churchill Factor, How One Man Made History, is available in bookstores and libraries right now. You can learn more about it at our website, wvxu.org. Sir, thank you for your time, and would you be willing to share what book you're reading right now?
Yes, I can tell you. I read a huge amount of stuff. What am I reading? I'm reading the latest Carl Hyerson book. I'm a fan of his. Skin Tight, some of his great early ones. He then became a little bit politically correct, but he's back on form. I'm reading A History of Liberalism by a man called Edmund Fawcett, who happens to be my uncle. It's a great book. What else am I reading? A book about Britain in the 1970s called Seasons in the Sun by a man called Dominic Sandbrook. There you go. And Andrew Roberts' Napoleon. Andrew Roberts' Napoleon is on my desk.
Thank you, sir.
All the best. Thank you.
Again, Boris Johnson. His book is The Churchill Factor, How One Man Made History. This is The Book Club at 91.7.
What book did you read as a child that left a lasting impression? That's the question we're asking Book Club listeners to answer this month. Here's a few responses.
My name is Christopher Eanes, and I'm from Over the Rhine in downtown Cincinnati. I'll never forget that when I was very young, my friend from next door was supposed to recite The Night Before Christmas at school, but there was a snow day. So instead, he came to our house and did it for our whole extended family on Christmas Eve, and I've read it every year since.
Hello, I'm Kate Lawrence from Mount Washington. What book did you read as a child that left a lasting impression on you and why? That's such a hard question because as a child, I was a voracious reader and read everything I could get my hands on. I read and reread the Little House series by Laura Ingalls Wilder. Those were some of my favorite books. I can't even tell you how many times I read all of them. And I think they had a lasting impact on me because I am a huge history buff. I love nonfiction. I love history. I majored in it in college, and it's lasted throughout my life, and I think that really sparked that interest.
Share the story of your favorite childhood book. Call 513-352-9188 and leave a voicemail. That's the Book Club at 91.7 Hotline. 352-9188 to answer the question, what book did you read as a child that left a lasting impression? Thanks.
You've been listening to the Book Club at 91.7. The club's producer is Kevin Reynolds. Rick Andres is music director and segment engineer. Robin Carey Allgaier is the announcer. The club's web guru is Jim Nolan, and technical director is Bruce Ellis. Bruce, what are you reading?
Mark, I'm reading Martin Short's autobiography. I must say, my life is a humble comedy legend. I've been reading a lot of fiction lately, and I decided to go for something real. And this time around, it's an autobiography by one of my favorite comedians. So far, I'm about a third of the way in. A very enjoyable book.
I Must Say by Martin Short. Thanks, Bruce. And I'm Mark Purcell, host of the Book Club at 91.7. Next Saturday morning, the Pantone Color Institute has published a beautiful book that traces colors and fashion through the decades of the 20th century. Avocado green or brilliant yellow, anyone? Pantone on Fashion, A Century of Color, next time on the Book Club at 91.7. Weekend Edition is coming up next on 91.7 WVXU. Have a great Saturday.